I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we hit the midweek point between international football and the return of domestic action. Celtic put their Europa League tickets on sale. How will fan anger impact those sales? Kilmarnock boss Stuart Kettlewell was not paying any attention to the noise around Celtic ahead of the trip to Rugby Park, and Rangers fined by UEFA and given a suspended ban on away fans for the use of pyrotechnics. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Alex Ray. He's wearing my headphones. He doesn't quite know that I'm trying to signal to give me them back, and there is Jim Duffy alongside him, who is good to go.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good week for the international setup. Gordon, we spoke last week, and a lot of debate about the team selection and how would Scotland go on, but we have to be fair to Stevie Clark. He got it bang on, 0-0 at Denmark, and a 2-0 win against Belarus. And you know, he changed the team round. He brought Billy Gilmore in, he brought Gannon Doak in, and they both did really well. I thought Shea Adams did very well against Belarus as well. Again, it was a big call. So yeah, overall, really good international week for the team, and particularly when you see Denmark's win in Greece as well. It's opened right up, and we're next two fixtures now with Greece and Belarus. Could put us in a really strong position if we get positive results. And, from a domestic point of view, Theo Asgard come on for Norway and scored 4 goals. So I'm sure that'll excite some of the Rangers fans, and they'll be hoping that he can transmit some of that for him into the club form, because I don't think anybody's really seen anywhere near the level that he's maybe capable of, and that's maybe a wee test of what he has got in the locker.
And that's it, Alex Ray, because as good as it was for Scotland, I feel like this is the night where so many of our listeners go, right, that was fine, that was good, but come on, let's get back to the real stuff. That's the way a lot of people see it.
Yeah, back to the bread and butter, Gordon. I have to say, I concur with Jim. I think Scotland did very well over the both legs. It's a positive start to that campaign. But you're absolutely right. I think most fans will be looking forward to the weekend. You know, the Old Firm fans, it's very unusual that you see both of them up in arms for the way their team are actually performing and not performing off the pitch. I expect a lot of that tonight, and I think a lot of people will be looking forward to the weekend.
Absolutely, let's do it. Let's go. 0141 951 1025. If you are one of those who just can't wait for international breaks to be over and return to domestic football, well, this is it. This is your chance tonight. Whatever you've been waiting to get off your chest for the last couple of weeks, now's the night to do it. So do give us a call right now. There are a few headlines that might tease you in, because for the last couple of weeks, all we've had is Celtic fans on here angry at Champions League elimination, frustrated at the lack of signings, even angrier about the way deadline day went. Then the statement at the weekend seemed to pour petrol on it all, and all that amounted to discussions about, well, what happens next? Do you stop going to games? Do you not buy your tickets? Do you not buy your strips? Do you not buy your pies? All that sort of stuff. Well, Celtic have put their Europa League tickets on sale today. So Celtic fans, I'd love to hear from you. What does that mean to you? Are you not going to buy them? Is that your way of showing your level of dissatisfaction? Or actually, now that they're there, now that they're on sale, now that you've got the opportunity, do you swallow that stuff and just go and support the team and maybe vent your frustration in other ways? I'd love to hear from both sides on that. Today was the day. Who out there decided no thank you to the Europa League package, and who out there is going to just take it up and go and support the team amidst all the anger and frustration that's been going on? I'd love to hear both sides of that if we can. So please, 0141 951 1025. It is Wednesday, of course, with a few days to go, but you want to get early thoughts ahead of the game specific stuff at the weekend, be our guest. As Jim Duffy says, there's always a link really between international football and domestic football, and you Rangers fans must have been up to a point loving what you were seeing. Tello Asgard scoring 4 times for Norway last night. Derek Cornelius, you've not even seen him in a Rangers jersey yet, he whips a free kick in to the top corner in Canada's game. And of course, Nicholas Raskin scored a few days prior as well. So does that kind of change your thoughts in any way? What does that do for the return to domestic football? Are you even more keen to see these guys? Does it show what they're capable of? Are they not getting used properly at Rangers? Obviously Cornelius hasn't played yet. So give us all your thoughts there and the sort of mixture between international and domestic football. One more pyro breach in the next 2 years would see Rangers unable to take an away allocation to a European game. So they have been fined by UEFA, given a suspended ban. I think many people feared after the Bruges game that would be it. That was the last chance. Well, it's a suspended sentence this time. So all your thoughts there, Rangers fans. Would that be enough, do you think? Is that it? Do you think fans will stop pyro? Or can you see that being enforced where you ultimately don't get to take an away allocation to a European game? Give us your thoughts there. And anything else at all? Bit of a championship assistant manager feel to the show tonight. It might not be the derby in Glasgow that gets the most headlines, but we've got Partick Thistle against Queen's Park in here in the studio tonight. So if you have any championship specific thoughts, these two have seen it all and done it all, give us all your thoughts, all your questions, usual number or Twitter at Clyde SSB. How's it been, Alex Ray? Partick Thistle,
yeah,
going well?
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, Gordon. It's been great working with Mark. We have a really good group of boys there, and I think it's refreshing. I was talking to Jim prior to one of the boys come in the summer. We told him to come in at 9:15 to sign, and he was there at 8:15 before we'd even get in the building with Sonello. So really pleased that he's been called up to the 21s. Unfortunately, he never get a starting.
Beat up Portugal last night, didn't
they? Yeah, which was a terrific encounter. I have to say the Portuguese were tremendous. But getting back to the Thistle thing, I think it's been great. It's been a breath of fresh air for me, Gordon. I've really enjoyed it. The group work really hard. They're really well united, and we've got off to a decent enough start.
And how is the Maryhill Mourinho, the Partick Pep, to work under all the stick we gave him in this show? Now look at him.
Yeah, I have to say he's consuming. He puts a real shift into it, you know. And I keep telling him to kind of rein it back a little bit. He's going to all the games. Boys that are out on loan, he's going to watch them as well. And I'm one of these armchair kind of guys now, you know what I mean? I've done all that kind of stuff, but no, we're getting out to as many games as we can. But he's very diligent. He's very thorough in what he wants to do. He's hands-on on the pitch as well, you know. I used to give all that stuff to Davy Farrell to do all the training and things. So he designs all the training and things. So he's very much in amongst it. I'm actually just looking numbers. There's a cardboard cutout there. I can't get away from this guy.
That's true, actually. There is a cardboard cutout of him in the studio.
So, I think he's really enjoying it as well. And as I said, I think when you've got a group of boys, and Jim will know this, he's been running the block for a long time as well. When you've got a group of boys, Jim, they come in most days, they work relatively hard, and they put a shift in a Saturday. You're going to lose games, but you can take that all day long. And as I said, it's great. I'm really enjoying it.
A management team made in Clyde One Super Scoreboard, eh? Honestly. See, did you notice that when you got the job, the number of people saying, right, what's Hugh Keevans doing? What's his role in this? You need to get him in.
Well, to be fair, by the way, could do the kit, man, because he needs to up his game, Jim.
I can see.
Motivational speaker, EOF, maybe.
I think director of football, Hugh, I mean, he knows everything about football. He knows everybody. He's disliked by everybody, so that'll endear him to the fans straight away. So there you are. He's a perfect candidate for that. Takes all the pressure off the manager then, because he'd be taking all the stick.
He can't work technology and he doesn't drive, so I'm wondering if the director of football role's passed him by.
Listen, I think for the man of Hugh's football and knowledge, there's always an opportunity.
Jeez,
for him
knowledge anyway, right? But we can get back to that. Any Partick Thistle fans or Queen's Park fans, for that matter, get in touch, let us know what's on your mind tonight. But Stevie is first on the line. Stevie's a Celtic fan. How are you?
Just the same as every other Celtic fan, but I'd just like to bring something to your attention. I was talking to the producer there. The level of dissatisfaction and concern among Celtic fans is so huge that there's actually a meeting in Grace's pub in the Mersey City tonight of all the supporters clubs, associations, heads and all that, to try and formulate a plan forward to put pressure on the board to make them realise that we're not going to tolerate this nonsense that we've been putting up with for years with this lack of spending and all that. Personally speaking, I'll always support the team. I'm not saying I'm, you know, a happy clapper or whatever the phrase is with the board, right? I think the dereliction of duty, and I think if somebody else in any other business in life had cost me the decision that cost you £20 million, I think they'd be sacked. But having said that, I'll be taking the Europa League package because this is a good opportunity for me to pick up a couple of extra tickets because I think the attendance will be low. And two of the home games are at 6 o'clock, which is an ideal opportunity for me to take my grandson, because it's not too late. But I'll go and I'll support the team, but I am looking forward to seeing how this, if at all, it gets resolved, this disconnect, you know?
Yeah. Because that's why I asked the question, Jim. Today was always going to be quite an interesting day. The Europa League package goes on sale. You just click on it and just wait to read the replies, you know, when it's announced on Twitter, because it's the first sort of tangible chance for Celtic fans to properly show your dissatisfaction. It's easy to write an angry tweet. Yeah. It's easy to moan in the pub to your mates. Mm. But what does it mean? What does it look like? How angry are you? How dissatisfied are you? So Stevie says no problem for him. He still takes up his package, shows it in other ways.
See, I think Stevie's can reflect a number of fans, which is, if you've got young family, whether it's his grandsons, grandchildren, you know, whether it's your own children, young fans want to see them. They don't have the same maybe understanding of the financial situation that Stevie and guys of his generation are so disenchanted about. But they want to support their team. I've said this before. I think the team deserves the support. The things in the background are out with the team's control. They can only do their bit. Listen, they let themselves down a little bit. They should have beaten Kairat. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Even with the current group of players they have, even without the big signings that the fans wanted, Celtic should have still been good enough over two games to score a goal against Kairat. So I think the players underperformed. It's a difficult one, because when you're a fan, you want your club to keep progressing and keep stretching, you know, the resources and pushing, you know, the standards all the time, you know, getting higher standards. And to do that, you need real competition. But Celtic have spent money. I'm not just saying in this particular window, but over the course, yeah, that we know that we know a part of their policy is to try and get players in, sell them on for a decent profit, and that's always going to be the case in Scottish football, because we don't have the same financial income that you do get elsewhere. But the standard has definitely dropped for Celtic. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Brendan Rodgers has more or less said that. And I think Stevie, like a lot of his fellow Celtic fans, I think that's the biggest frustration, is that they haven't pushed on from last year. They've actually regressed as opposed to progressed.
Alex, I wonder if this is another sign of how quickly football can change and move on. I feel like that we saw you semi recently, but the last time you were in here, you had just come out of Rangers with Philippe Clement, and we spoke about how ultimately the main problem is trying to keep up with Celtic, and that exacerbates everything that had gone on at Rangers. But fast forward a couple of months, and as good as the league table still looks for Celtic, we're actually having a discussion about whether fans are going to sort of boycott or not take
up in
tickets.
Arms. No, absolutely. And I think if you're a fan like Stevie is, you would be up in arms. I think the transfer window has been really poor. I was aware of this meeting by all the groups tonight as well. And I don't think the statement the weekend is going to wash with them, you know, the European kind of list as well, in terms of the financial side of that. Gordon, that kind of get blown out of the water as well. So there's a real disconnect at the moment. And going back to your point and your question earlier on about the fans boycotting, I don't see that at all, because as Jim just said there, I don't think it's against the team or Brendan Rodgers. You know, I think they'll go out in their numbers and support them.
But some people will say that the best
that's the way to do it
is
yeah.
just to sort of not give any extra money, because like season tickets are bought, you know, that's pretty much done. But it feels like today is an interesting one, because anger is probably still at peak level or is close to it.
Yeah.
And then you're getting asked to part with more
money.
Cash.
But you're still getting some glamour games in this.
Sure.
We know it's not the Champions League. Listen, we know it's not the, you know, fine dining, you know. But there's still games where Celtic fans and Scottish fans in particular are always a bit frustrated. You play each other four times. The domestic league can become a wee bit stale at times. As you mentioned, Celtic's already, you know, got a gap, particularly against Rangers just now, you know, and the league's only just started. So these games still whet the appetite, Gordon. Maybe not at the same level, I get that. No one's trying to suggest it is the same level of the Champions League. But they are still matches, I think, that a lot of fans would still look forward to, because it does. It's still a great European night at Celtic Park.
Well, Stevie's taking his tickets up. Thank you to Stevie. What about Paul in Castlemilk? What are you thinking, Paul?
Well, hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Paul.
I think you should remember I phoned up during the summer because I seen this coming. I kind of referenced about the Celtic board buying all their Gucci belts and got to Dubai all the time. Basically, I knew for a fact this was coming. The Celtic board, they might sit with their suits in that boardroom. They treat the Celtic support but nothing but disdain and disregard. We plan our life around Celtic. Every weekend is like, where's Celtic playing? What we doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm at, so you're talking about boycotting the Europa game. I'm thinking about getting my season ticket up altogether. The last time I gave up, I was 18-year-old because I wanted to go to Maglev and I wasn't too keen on Tony Mowbray. But now I've got three reigns, and it's because I just don't feel as if I want to be gone. Them in that boardroom, they see us as keeping their wallets fat and their passports stamped up, and quite frankly, we're all absolutely sick of it. We were all thinking about we're all gone for maybe another 10 in a row playing Bayern Munich. Playing Bayern Munich at a good game in the rain grun, and you're like, is this the start that we're actually going to get better? So see the transfer policy. What is the transfer policy? Whoever comes in with 500 grand, everybody's for sale.
See, at the same time, Paul, obviously maybe fans of other teams or maybe some Celtic fans as well would say, as annoyed as you are, this has been, you know, a real period of success for Celtic. Would you still give up your ticket, so to speak, on the back of that?
As a sustained period of success, Gordon, aye. But their job in that boardroom is to keep that period of success going, not just sell him, or bring him in for the youth squad. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's been a lack of activity of the quality that we're looking to replace the guys who've gone out. You look at Kyogo in January, Kunin and Ida there. Yeah. Now, all being, I think they got
Jota's
a good...
Jota's injured, didn't he?
Jota was obviously a big loss as well, but I think they were looking for a better quality of player to come in, especially before the qualifier. That would have allowed them to try and compete with better quality. And saying that, I agree with Jim. I think they still had enough to beat the Kazakhstan team, but over the piece, they never get the job done. So ultimately, this is what's come back to roost. So there's some element of this is on Brendan Rodgers and the players, but because of the lack of investment, in the quality that Celtic fans were looking for.
It's also the period of time, Gordon. You know, like, but the period of time Celtic did. I mean, Celtic said, I mean, people always going about the transfer window, but you can sign players way in advance or get agree to sign players, whether it's pre-contracts or whether they get the deal done, and then when the transfer window's open, you can officially get them to sign. But a lot of that work should have been done before, months in advance. You're talking about over the last 5 or 6 months. Everyone knew that Celtic were going to win the league, so they knew they had won qualifying tie to get through, so that it's not as if it was going right to the wire last day of the season. No, we're not quite sure. Should we throw some money at it?
They could have planned for that.
If they could have planned months and months of it. So I think it's the fact is that it kept going, and then almost every interview since the season started, Brendan Rodgers, the question was put to him again, you know, have you got any players coming? And you could sense his frustration. And I think that if he had been a bit more understanding, if you want to call it that, and just said, oh, listen, it's up to the board are dealing with all that kind of stuff, Then perhaps I think the Celtic fans would have allowed those things to not fester so much. But it just seemed to be that the manager was getting unbelievably frustrated by it. And I think, myself and Alec both being managers, when you're desperate to get players in, you don't. It's the end of the day, you're an employee, I've said before. You don't pay the wages, you can't pay the transfer fee. It's up to the board to deal with it. So you rely on your board or your recruitment or whatever department it is to get these deals over the line.
Paul, as we said, the sort of new element to this today is the Europa League tickets going on sale. Do you think there will be a drop off there, or is that stuff that just gets spoken about, doesn't really happen, and then actually other people will be happy to take tickets anyway because they want to go and see the team?
I was going to ask you this question, Gordon. I've actually got a friend that's from Rome. I met him, he's a Roma fan, and he's coming over. So I want to try and buy that one Roma ticket for him, but the rest of them, I don't want them. They can do what they want with them, but I think, I wasn't sure last season, you can buy one at a time. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Do you know what? I must admit, ticket sales are not my area of expertise. I just know that today, you probably can.
I think they have packages, which is, if you get the 4-game package, then it's obviously, you save a bit of money if you're buying them all. But I'm pretty sure that there was an opportunity to buy them individually if the tickets weren't sold.
Because I noticed I think it's worked out at £35 per game. I've seen, and it's funny how you can because I've seen people point out that is way more expensive than the last time Celtic were in the Europa League, and it's an X percent increase. But I've also seen people point out that's cheaper than most clubs,
to a domestic match sometimes.
For a start, I think it's cheaper than Rangers Europa League package, correct me if I'm wrong. And yeah, so like I say, there's probably an illness.
I think even the most, you know, dyed-in-the-wool fans, you would think that the Celtic board owe the fans a little bit here. They should have reduced the cost for this particular tournament, because they did underperform. They should have been in the Champions League. And I think even if it was a gesture, even if they turned around and says, listen, we were going to put it at whatever, £35, we're going to make it £30 because we understand we let our supporters down a little bit. I think even something like that could have.
There might actually be some sort of minimum, you know? Though. I'll check that. I think I read that earlier about there being a minimum amount. But anyway, thank you very much to Paul on the line. Keep your calls coming. I'll speak to you.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Jim Duffy are in the building, both waiting patiently for you to get in touch. So let's hear it. 0141 951 1025. George is in Cumbernauld. He's dialed the number. George.
Hi, Gordon, Alex, and Jim.
Hello.
Good evening, guys.
George. Hi, George.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah.
Got you, George. On you go.
Well, God, man, I'm really getting that peed off. It's all the media at the moment. It's all the media's fault. But like, Brendan Rodgers is a master. To me, he's a narcissist. The guy, like, in the comments he makes, all the fight of comments to get the fans railing against him. Brendan Rodgers is the most backed financial manager in Celtic's history. In the last 5 windows, 2 years since he's been here, he took over a treble-winning squad that was assembled by Ange Postecoglou for £49 million. That £49 million spent has brought in an income of £130 million to Celtic Football Club, and we'll still get the core of the team. The core of the team is still Angie's players. Brendan's now signed 32 players, and one was, up until the Carrihatta game, one was making into the first team. The first window, he signed £22.8 million. I don't believe they were his signings, right, but he has to work with the recruitment team, and has a big ego, does not want to play the players. Marocchi, Lager, Belka, Kuhn was one of the first ones in, so the only one he's actually sold at a profit. The rest are all out on loan or been treated absolutely deplorably. The young guy in Amura came in for Japan. I said he wasn't good enough. And he plays him. Every game the guy played, he got better and better. But he's big ego again, and he played against Livingston, played outstanding. People said to him, I thought we no sign of a Kyogo replacement. We signed a young Japanese centre forward who's in place and Kyogo in the Japan national team. He's no good a chance. Right? It's like, it's unbelievable. He's had £70 million to add to a treble winning squad. 9 of the players that played against, took us the extra time with Bayern Munich, are still there. The full squad's nearly still there. So I don't really see where the fans are coming. The board made massive mistakes, Gordon. Massive. See the transfer window. I think we need a director of football. Right? Nicholson shouldn't be doing these deals. He seems to be out of his league, but our board, our football club, is one of the best runs. We've got, for the last 10 years, we've had a player trading model that the envy of Europe, apart from maybe Brighton and Club Brugge, I think they're the only 2 clubs that are up there with us. We bring in players like Hatate, we're told a project player, £1 million, outstanding. Maeda, now maybe over 20, 30 million, £1 million. O'Reilly, £1 million. Van Dijk, project player, £2.7 million, only about £100 million player. Frimpong, £300,000. Ayer, £1 million project player. But we'd managers that would develop these players and would make massive money. Bringing in players and Brendan putting his big ego in the road here, then we're not getting anywhere. And I'm just really peed off that the fans can't see this. And it's just.
See, in fairness, George. See, in fairness, I don't think. I can't speak in behalf of the fans, but I don't think fans are saying that Brendan Rodgers has done nothing wrong, you know, and he doesn't get anything wrong, and he's bang on. But is it not just about the sort of priorities for people, and they feel that there are bigger issues here? Because you've said it as well. I mean, you think it needs a sporting director, so a lot of fans maybe think that there are now structural issues that are being highlighted. You say that, you know, most of the squad's still there, but Nicholas Kuhn isn't. You know, he played against Bayern Munich and scored. Was there a suitable replacement brought in time for him? There was already discussions about whether they needed a Kyogo replacement at that point. So yeah, he didn't play against Bayern Munich, but they probably needed a replacement. You mentioned Yamada, you know, being a sort of like for Kyogo in the Japan national team. I think Yamada's got one Japan cap, so I don't know if that's quite accurate either. But is this not all about people just trying to figure out what the biggest problem is? I don't think people are totally letting Brendan Rodgers off, are they?
Well, to me, Gordon, the biggest problem, he had 3.5 hours against a team, a goat herders for Kazakhstan. He couldn't break them down. Any team that plays a low build-up, Brendan struggles. His tactics are terrible. It's horrendous to watch. But he just plays away with it and gets away with it.
Do you think it was last season, George? You look at the number of goals Celtic scored last season, particularly that opening part. You think it was bad last season against low blocks?
Yeah, so see against teams with a low block, Gordon, he really struggles.
How did they score so many goals last season?
Listen, most managers and most teams can struggle against low block because the way the game's played now, people have to open them up and they need intensity, they need that. I mean, it's a really disrespectful thing to say Jaws are a team of goat herders. I mean, guys out there, they're organised, they're working hard, they're not paid fortunes in Kazakhstan, they're not the highest level at football. So you give the guys a bit of respect there in terms of the professionalism and their dedication to try and achieve something which was a first for the Kazakhstan team to get to the Champions League. To get to the Champions League group stages. So all credit to them for that. Celtic have been poor. Again, Alistair Johnson's been injured. You know, it was another one. Him and Kuhn in that right-hand side were very instrumental in Celtic's, a lot of Celtic's performances last year. Yeah, you're right, Kyogo left. That's the reason why I said earlier on they've had a long time, Celtic, to replace these. But they did spend money as well. They did, obviously, Ida, Engels, as you mentioned, some other players as well, Naroki, Lagerbielke. There was significant money spent on the squad. Now, whether that's down to Brendan Rodgers or whether that's down to the recruitment policy for the club, no one knows 100%. But there's been a lot of players who haven't come up to the standard that the recruitment team believed that they were going to do that. But the manager has said he needed more pace about the team. And he did allude to the fact that teams were sitting deeper against them and he needed more speed in the team, he felt, to counteract that. And that hasn't been the case.
See, on that, I feel like the numbers last season categorically disprove that. Because as you say, look, it is hard. We all acknowledge that it's hard to play against a team that's in a low block. Would we accept the most domestic teams sitting in a low block against Celtic? Yes, would we agree? Celtic scored 112 goals last season. So officially, they do not struggle to break
down.
They maybe can on occasion because
but they always get the job done, Gordon.
112 goals. I don't get. I feel like that's just proof rather than anything that they don't.
I think we're talking about this
block
season. I think,
sure,
you know, in terms of
that's not. But he did mention last season, Jim, George.
The drop off has been a little bit more obvious this year. Again, losing key players, having to replace key players, and as I said, that speed and intensity, and even other guys like Callum McGregor, who's normally been, you know, just magnificent, really. That's the only word you can use to describe him in the last 5-6 years. His standards dropped a little bit. Hatate's just come off the pace a little bit. So everyone's just come back a little level, maybe a notch or two.
I get, to be fair, right, there's just a couple of minor points. I get a lot of what George is saying, because if you go back to like the next day after Kaira Omati, Brendan Rodgers did get a stick for that. I think if you're the manager, you get any sort of disappointing result, Scottish Cup final, you need to get a stick from it.
Yeah.
But since then, the picture just seems to have changed for a lot of fans, not for George, but you've got Brendan Rodgers saying, Adam Ida can't leave till we get a striker. Adam Ida leaves, and it's the free market, and eventually Iheanacho comes in. Then there's the story about Maeda. He's saying he wanted to leave, that didn't happen. Then there's that statement, 9 o'clock, Saturday night, 1,000 words, etc. So these are all things that
I've added to it.
Yeah, and are probably not so much to do with Brendan Rodgers, although Kaira Omati is and Aberdeen is. So I get where George is coming from, but it feels like the last week, because Celtic haven't played, so he can't, you know, he's almost not taking the blame for that stuff.
I think the chain of events, or the lack of events, has actually helped that escalate, Gordon, because if you think about the statement and then obviously not getting players in, either leaving, then that obviously goes from the bad, disappointing result in Kazakhstan, it then fires over to, you know, to the board. I'm really fascinated to see where this is actually going to go, because, you know, the board put a statement out there that did not wash with the fans. The fans are meeting tonight. And I'd be fascinated to see what the upshot of that is, because they want answers. They gave, was it 6 or 7 points that they wanted clarified of where the board's going going forward. So I'll be interested to see where it all plays out, because it won't go away. If anything, it's going to escalate.
Yeah,
because
it does put a bit of pressure on the team as well, Alec, because when they go out in the pitch and if there's that, you know, atmosphere, which is basically, you know, not saying nervous, but, you know, a bit of anxiety, a bit of frustration and anger, then that can transmit on the players. And, you know, yourself, listen, you were at Rangers, and if it's not going your way and the fans are being a wee bit frustrated and that, you know, the players start to feel it, it does affect performances.
No, you're telling him. My jinky's been in the Algarve for 8 months since then. Honestly, I'm an egg, just getting over it. George, thank you. Make some good points, George. It's a nice to hear that side of the debate as well. Paul is on. Paul, where does this go from here, the guys are asking?
Yeah, well, it's just interesting times, Gordon, since I was last on. It's my first call of the new season. So a couple of points I'd like to make. First of all, I think the grace thing is a bit of a disgrace. I think there's a lot of these podcasters and social media influencers who have maybe grown their audience by putting, you know, speaking out and all of that. I don't really like the whole tone of any of that. So I think there's two sides to that. I'm not saying that the Celtic board should not have dialogue, but, you know, the whole idea of let's all have a meeting and publicise it, the event, you know, the venue and all that, just, I don't know if I'm making my point clear. But
no, I get it, but I wonder, I wonder if that's disingenuous as well, sort of, you know, these social media scallywags. I mean, by the last time I checked, there were a heck of a lot of Celtic supporters clubs. I mean, literally hundreds of them that have put their name to this, Paul. So I wonder if you're being fair.
I just think that's the way people communicate now through social media. It's just an avenue now where, but, you know, not just young people, but, you know, maybe majority are younger. That communicate through that way. So I just think it's just a modern way of contact and fellow fans.
Isn't it like 420, I think, supporters clubs, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Possibly, but I mean, the reality is Dermot Desmond is the majority shareholder. He's got proxy votes for, you know, some bank in America, and until he changes, nothing's going to change. Peter Lawwell's his sort of custodian of that, and, you know, I don't know where they go from here. But my main point was really about Brendan Rodgers now perhaps playing mind games or being a bit disingenuous with the two Japanese, the latest Japanese signings, and the previous caller made reference to that. So, you know, the lad Yamada is streets ahead of Johnny Kenny, doesn't get in the Europa League, and Inamura, as other callers said, look, you know, better with every game, and they seem to be sort of, you know, put to the side. It smacks that it wasn't Brendan's idea, therefore, you know, that they're not in. So I think that's more worrying than the whole idea of is Brendan going to. I mean, I don't know the stories about Sean Maloney and Jim Goodwin. That's just, you know, that'd just be a disaster. But, you know, it does look as if that's Brendan Rodgers' way of saying, no, I'm in charge. Yeah. And these two guys, I think I can spot. I mean, Yamada looked almost Charlie Nicholas-esque against Rangers with his touch and his vision, and, you know, he every time he got the ball.
That's high praise, that, Paul. I'm looking at Jim Duffy here, who grew up with Charlie Nicholas, and I'm sensing you might disagree.
Aye, well, I think people like to compare players, but. I just think, you know, the ability that Charlie had, I think, was there for all to see and produced it in the big games, you know, and, you know, the derby matches, the international stage, you know, domestically as well, as going down to England. But listen, Paul, I think that, you know, when you've got players, obviously you've got a squad, you've got to name, was it 25 or whatever to be for the Europa squad, then you're going to be leaving players out, particularly at a big club, and there's always going to be, you know, people who disagree with the manager. I haven't seen enough of Yamada, I have that personally, and I haven't seen enough of Inamura to decide whether I think they're better or not. But I just think overall Celtic squad is weaker, and I think that's the overlying frustration for Celtic fans, that they are weaker. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that's pretty factual, and that is a frustrating thing for Celtic, because they should be getting stronger and stronger and stretching the gap between them and Rangers in particular, not allowing the gap to possibly close depending on how Rangers do.
I'm a bit torn on this as well, Alex, because a bit like Paul, if anyone cares what I think, I'll watch Yamada come on against Rangers and thought he looked okay, you know, did well and put himself about. And we've not really seen that much of Johnny Kenny. Was I surprised Yamada wasn't in the Europa League squad? Yes, I was as well. So I get where Paul's coming from. At the same time, we can accuse managers of mind games or power plays, but ultimately Brendan Rodgers will surely be picking who he thinks is best, right? Because going back to the previous caller, if this Europa League campaign's a disaster, Brendan Rodgers is going to get it in the neck, and then you've got his reputation and so on. You have to allow a bit of an assumption that Yamada is not, as Paul calls it, streets and streets ahead of Johnny Kenny based on what Brendan Rodgers sees every day. Because if he was, send a statement, a power play, that's proper cutting off your nose to spite your face stuff. You'd be amazed if that was the case.
Yeah, without doubt. I don't see him doing that to make a point, Gordon, because again, it's you that then suffers, the team then suffers, and I don't see Brendan Rodgers doing that. I think he will pick who he thinks can get through the group stage. It's fascinating, Gordon, because, you know, this board is literally, it's interesting because you're getting two verses here from the fans, aren't you? That, you know, some are coming on and going, the board, there's hundreds of associations meeting tonight to discuss this. You're getting other guys come on and going, it's due to the manager and things. It's a real mess when you consider where Celtic were, when you said a couple of months ago, Gordon. And
not so bad, but you've only lost one trophy, I think, out of the last six of them to me as well, and you're still getting absolutely slaughtered. Won the league in a canter, and I think it's so difficult, as I said, the standards that Celtic have set, I think it's probably actually, you know, weighing heavily on their shoulders now, because that's the standard that fans are judging them by.
But I think that the Celtic fans, Jim, seen an opportunity to build and strengthen from last year's Champions League, and now they're looking at it and going, they're talking about Yamada, and the young boy. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're looking at all these guys and you're going, well, we've regressed. How's this taking it forward? And all the while, you know, Rangers have not really got their act together at all.
The one thing I would say is that, you know, there's always one of the calls, I'm not sure which one it was, that was saying about younger players and all, but sometimes you need an opening, and sometimes it's just your luck. If you're a young player, Alex, a young player, you go into certain clubs, you know, so the likes of Colby Donovan, Dane Murray, Johnny Kenny, listen, they're good players, and sometimes you've actually got to look in house and give these young players a chance rather than go out and spend maybe a million or two on guys who are absolutely not any better.
Thank you very much to Paul again. Some interesting points made. I can almost sense you all out there trying to pick one side or the other or somewhere down the middle. Let us know whilst we tell you about this. Clyde One. £552,000 up for grabs, a serious amount of money. You can get 100 entries into the draw if you text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Don't miss out, because the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday, so you're starting to run out of time a bit. Answer the call. The £552,000 would be yours straight into your bank account right after the call. Text YES to 61025. Good luck.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Alex Ray are here at 01419511025. You can tweet your thoughts at Clyde SSB and get involved. We are in that middle ground. It's not too early to build up to the weekend's action. If you want to, you can switch focus back to domestic football. I know, despite it being a good World Cup qualification campaign, despite Hugh Keevans looking out his sombrero for Mexico next year, I still appreciate loads of you just wait for domestic football to come back around. So if there's anything there, get your calls in. Rangers fans, I'd like your thoughts on this £20,000 fine for breaching pyro rules in the eyes of UEFA, and it's now a 2-year suspended sentence. So essentially one more breach of that in the next 2 years and there would be no away allocation for one of the European games. So it's getting serious, if not already. Let us know and we will bring in Paul first of all. How are you, Paul?
Not bad, mate, yourself?
Good here, Paul. What are you thinking?
It's just I'm going to sort of defend Brendan Rodgers. I'm no Brendan Rodgers' biggest fan, but just in general, after what happened the last time, and the football's not been great in that, but just with these signings, I feel people pick and choose, like, about his ego, and because there's been plenty of signings that weren't the Rodgers signings that he did play, But then when he doesn't play a boy that certain fans like, oh, his ego's in the way and he's making a point. But he played Kuhn. It wasn't his signing. Yang plays semi-regularly. The new winger started at Ibrox right away. He brought on the left-back for Boca Juniors at Ibrox, but brought on Yamada at Ibrox. But when Yamada's missed out the Europa League squad, oh, it's Rodgers' ego and this and that. And I just think it's getting a bit out of hand, to be honest.
Yeah, so what part, I mean, do you think part of this, Paul, is when any walk of life won't get too deep, but I think people just look for one person to blame or one group to blame. Very rarely do we make allowances for middle ground. So is that what this debate's become? You know, by the looks of it, by the first 50 minutes of the show, it's either the board's fault or it's Brendan Rodgers' fault. And there's sort of no room for a sort of middle ground.
The signings, I think, like you're saying, like with the Champions League qualifier, Rodgers should have done better. And there's been a few big games recently. A few of the Rangers games, Aberdeen final, have been poor. But I think he has, I'm not here to solely defend him, but I think he has been hamstrung with the signing. Any manager in the world, if you lose your two strikers, would be hamstrung with that. I just think it's a bit, with this certain situation, I just don't think Rodgers should be the target for this specific situation.
It's just like we said, Jim, it just depends what are we talking about? Are we talking about individual match failures or even a group of matches? The manager just has to take some responsibility. You guys know that, you just can't escape it. But if you're talking structural issues at a club, if you're talking about general running of a club, then clearly that is above his head.
Yeah, but I think Paul brings a good point there. When people start to look at other reasons, he said there, people question, or they say it's Brendan's ego. He's been a very successful manager, particularly at Celtic, and therefore it's nothing to do with that side of it. That becomes personal then, and people look at these type of things, as you said, Gordon. People look for reasons, and if something they dislike, they then start to take you away from the tactical point or the technical point, and then they start looking at the personal point, and I think that's completely unfair. You know, he's been a terrific manager. The style of football he plays is, you know, normally very attack minded, very pleasing. As you mentioned earlier on, I think 112 goals you said last season. The amount of trophies he's won has been exceptional. So he's an outstanding manager. But sometimes you do go through a period, a dip. You know, you do flatline out for a little bit. There is a bit of a transitional period in any football club. And this might be the period for Celtic that they have to just kind of batten down the hatches a little bit, get those new players integrated into the squad, hopefully get the balance right within the team again, and start to find their groove a little bit again. Yeah, they have dropped. I mean, you mentioned there the Rangers game 0-0 was a pretty poor game. The two games against Kairat were poor. You know, there has been a number that they scored a last-minute winner against St Mirren. So they haven't been firing all cylinders, but sometimes you need a little bit of time just to try and get it. I think now the window's closed. They've had this international break. There's been probably a number of players have got time to settle in. I think Celtic will improve. I don't think it'll improve to the level that, you know, Celtic fans want, because they don't have the same quality of players. But I do think they will improve and get back to, you know, a style of football that Brendan Rodgers is normally and traditionally, you know that type of manager.
Imagine it, 5 o'clock Sunday, full time. Kilmarnock 1, Celtic 1. These phone lines, Alex, will be. And that's the reality of it, because people want to do big picture thinking, but we're in an environment where it's, you know, there's so many short term.
I think that's the thing, Gordon. I think if you can, as Jim says there, I think if you can go on and get a couple of wins, it will settle everyone down. I think when you speak to any manager, they go, right, okay, we want the window to close because we now know what we're working with. You know, we've obviously listened to Celtic fans tonight talk about the board and Brendan and certain aspects of that. But the players as well have dipped a little bit, Jim, because some of them have been absolutely outstanding. Callum McGregor's been the standout player in Scotland for years. Hatate's been excellent as well for his distribution and things and goals, and he's driving from Midland Park. We haven't quite seen that so far. But we do know that there are still quality players there at Celtic, and a couple of wins could quite easily change that. But it's game by game, because we're so emotive in this part of Scotland.
Paul, the reason we're asking the question tonight, believe it or not, we don't try to have the same exact discussion every single night, but it was about the Europa League package. It's gone on sale, and it's, you know, will the Celtic frustration actually, you know, play out in that way? What do you think?
I think there's an element of support that are just staunchly against the board because of what they've done over the years constantly, and I feel there was the other element of support were sort of fighting it against each other, like back and forward over the years. But this time it feels more like the support's united against the board. And there are obviously people that are always going to take the package. I heard the guy on earlier saying his son wants to go with him or whatever. And I get that. And there'll still be attendance, but I think it will be affected. If it was the Champions League, I don't think... I know if it were in the Champions League, there probably wouldn't be a protest. But if it was Champions League game, I think it would be harder to implement. But
are you a season ticket holder, Paul? Sorry for that. Yeah. And what's your own thoughts
on it? I'm not taking it this year. I would have took it any other year. But I just feel we're constantly putting in. And when I'm in work, I get a lot of things for other, like the smaller teams in the league. I work in Falkirk and there's a lot of Falkirk fans and an Aberdeen fan, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think they can see, they're seeing Celtic spend this and compared to the other clubs. But even them, I think with this window, other fans are even starting to see how badly they act in transfer windows, how badly they act. And I heard the boy on earlier as well saying that they're one of the most well-run clubs in this player trading model. And I actually think it's a bit of a myth, the player trading model. I think, see, if you're signing 5-6 studs and then you sign one boy, Matt O'Reilly, or one Kyogo or whatever, they go end up going for big money, that's sort of covering your failures rather than this thing that Celtic go out and they make all these signings and they all do great. Yeah.
To be fair on that, you don't get them all right. Nobody gets them all right. But anyway, do you know what? It's food for thought, Paul. Appreciate you getting in touch. I'll just have a quick look at the clock. Didn't realise we were running so late. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
We're starting to work our way through them. They're toppling. Gordon Dalziel, very cocky as always last night. Lost. We gave away another one of our collector's item, Beat the Pundit coins. If you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
1-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Alex Ray are here at 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, I had a feeling this would happen. Everybody's moved on from Scotland. No Scotland calls as yet. We're done. We've moved on. We're looking back to the return of domestic football.
We
lots.
Don't like when Scotland wins.
I know.
It's almost as if
we'd lost, we'd be on all week.
Everybody'd be on.
Anyway, lots of calls coming in. Today was the day Celtic's Europa League packages for tickets went on sale, and a lot of speculation, obviously, as to what that would look like in terms of fans being angry and would they take tickets and so on. So that debate has been reignited. I don't think it's ever gone away, but it's been reignited tonight. If you want to join in, please do. Rangers fans, what's on your mind? You probably had a wee spring in your step looking at the international football last night with Asgard scoring 4 and Cornelius scoring off the back of Raskin scoring. Is that your hope that this all translates into a more positive set of results post-break than the results prior to it? Again, let us know. 0141 951 1025. It's really up to you. Anything else out there that's on your mind? Early look ahead to the weekend. We've got two of the Championship's assistant managers here, and if we're really struggling, I'll get Jim Duffy to tell us what it was like to manage a young Alex Ray way back in the day.
Not when, enough time
when, yeah. Ofcom might have some things to say about that, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what we've got tonight. We managed to get a defeat for Gordon Dalziel last night, which warmed my heart greatly. We gave away another one of our special money can't buy collector's item, Beat the Pundit coins, that I've been trying to shift. People must think I'm in commission for these going out the door. I just really like them. I think it's a nice novelty. You can still choose the same ball if you so wish. James is in Crieff. How are you, James?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. First time on Beat the Pundit?
It certainly is.
Good. I love it. I just always surprises me. I'm humbled after all these years, still night after night, people, first time. If you do the usual, play along at home, do quite well?
Aye, probably about an average of 3.
I think that's an okay average.
You got a sweat on yet, Jim? 3?
Would 3 beat you 2?
Oh, that's the problem. I'm
panicking a bit, aren't you? Because I'm thinking back, you used to obviously be on the show regularly. Did you not eventually? I'm sure you had one very good season.
Yeah, I did. I won it 1 year. And
but
then,
is that, do you think?
I've gone now.
Do you think you genuinely been the rhythm of it?
It's a bit like doing crosswords. You get into that kind of training.
No, without doubt. I don't really read a lot of newspapers or anything. I just focus on what I'm doing at Thistle at the moment. So
Partick Thistle or Portugal. That's it. That's your two settings, isn't it?
I know. It was great last week.
Honestly.
1 week, what a difference it makes.
See, as soon as Partick Thistle aren't playing, this guy.
Borsky.
I'll go. Anytime.
Quite right. You only live once.
Quite right indeed. Right, what we'll do here, James, is we will toss the coin and see who you're up against. If it's the... You've picked your seat well.
There's the money there.
You've not seen the newbie, the pundit coin. Come on. Okay. And that seat, as fate would have it tonight, is the blue side for you. Does that suit you? Funny
all
enough.
Day long.
And the red side for Jim Duffy. It is the same every night. He didn't pick his seat.
Don't dare.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to
this,
James.
Could be an old Jim.
It's Alex Ray. He's panicking. He is panicking, James. So what we'll do, 30 seconds. On the clock, we'll give Alex something else to listen to. James, you just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer. Okay?
Okay, no worries.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Leon Kings joined which club on loan?
Pass.
What nationality is Dundee United's Ivan Dolcek?
Croatian.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the third highest capacity?
Tynecastle.
Who is Motherwell's club captain?
Andy Halliday.
True or false? Hearts have not won at Ibrox since 2014.
True.
Which country will Scotland men's team face next in World Cup qualifying?
Greece.
Who's the only Scottish club to have been members of the English FA?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring him back. Alex Ray, are you ready?
Decent, Jim.
I think you'll do.
Oh, he's talking about the music. Were you not? Four. I thought you were enjoying the...
It's an old 80s classic, wasn't it?
Right, hopefully that calmed your nerves. Are you ready?
I think you've got four.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Leon Kings joined which club on loan? What nationality is Dundee United's Ivan Dolcek?
Czechoslovakian.
Which Scottish Premiership stadium has the third highest capacity?
Aberdeen.
Who is Motherwell's captain?
Pass.
True or false? Hearts have not won at Ibrox since 2014.
True.
Which country will Scotland men's team face next in World Cup
Greece.
Qualifying? Who's the only Scottish club to have been members of the English FA?
Berwick.
In what village is Celtic's training ground located?
Lennoxtown.
Okay.
Well, I think you've done well, quite early, Alec.
What do you think, James?
At least it was Alec, could beat me.
I'm not sure about that, geezer.
Decent game. I quite like the game.
Sounded confident.
Leon King has indeed joined Ayr United on loan. So it's a 1-0 Alex Ray. However, James, you sounded like this was a guess, but it was bang on. Ivan Dolcek is Croatian. Style it out, James.
Is there a country called Czechoslovakia? There's a Czech Republic of Slovakia.
Right. But it's because he was listening to 80s music there. Exactly. He forgot what era he was in. James, just style it out. Say you knew that.
Oh,
100%. Is he not the top? He's the top scorer on the Premiership, I think, currently. Yeah. Ivan Dolcek. He's the Croatian Ivan Dolcek. Mm. Won all the Scottish Premiership stadium with the third highest capacity. When it's a pundit that I don't like and a pundit that I'm trying to wind up, I should say, I always say Aberdeen. Nah, it's not a stadium. You need to give me the name, but I think I'll get overruled by the producer on that one. So it was Pittodrie. Mm. I think Alex Ray goes 2-1 up. I think we have to. Motherwell's captain,
Paul McGinn.
It is Paul McGinn. None of you got it right. James went for our own Andy Halliday. And
he's
Alex
assistant,
just,
is he?
Is
he the vice captain?
No, I think that would be still. There's a couple, if you know, right, Stephen O'Donnell, Andy Halliday. They've got the old group kind of thing going on. So Stephen O'Donnell tends to take it in Paul McGinn's absence. So we're going 2-1 for Alex. It is true that Hearts have not won at Ibrox since 2014. Quite a record, that, isn't it?
Aye.
Because again, you always build them up. James will know this, you'll know this this weekend again.
Game,
as an example, Hearts 9 points, Tony Bloom's the man, Derek McInnes is in, can they split the old firm? Rangers have not won a game yet. Hearts have not won there since 2014. You know, there's a reason for those things. Do we sometimes overlook that? Or do you see it as being a real potential issue for Rangers
this
weekend?
I think it could be an issue this weekend, Gordon, purely for the point of view that the pressure, as Jim said, when it's not going well, you really need to kind of battle down the hashes, and that's from your own fans because the expectations are high. So I think Derek McInnes will go there. He just won the Manager of the month. So he'll go there.
That's a curse though, is it not?
They say that, but I think he'll be going there. I think they can get, they can turn that round from that 2014.
Yeah, I remember it. I was working, and Osman sold last minute winner. Do you know, in the championship?
How do you remember?
Because at that
2014,
that did Rangers not score late, and then there was the kind of celebration of Rangers of, you know, oh, we've rescued the game, but somehow there was still time, something like that. Nicky Law. Remember? Never mind. Anyway. I've lost track. They both got that right, and you both knew that Greece is next up for Scotland. The both only three. Jim Duffy, I wonder if you, the only Scottish club to be members of the FA.
I think it might have been Queen's Park.
It is your very own Queen's Park, you know, back in the day, sort of established club and all that. And I must admit, James, I was raging when I saw this. Most people would know it anyway, but it helps when you live in the next village, doesn't it? He was always going to get that. Lennox Town. I try to avoid it. He's a local. I was going to say, I don't have you down as visiting Lennox Town too often, but you're just along the road and you got it. So I'm afraid he was too much for you in the end, James. A 1-2-3-4, a 5-3.
No bad.
Yeah.
James said he would get three and he got three.
He did. You were a man of your word, James.
Right, got my average three. I'm happy.
Who's your team, James?
Rangers.
Right. Well, fun. Let's pick up that little discussion there then. This weekend, I'm fascinated by the dynamics in Glasgow because the Celtic fans are the angriest, I think, over the break because of everything that's gone on. However, you know fine well, if this is not a win at the weekend, there is going to be all sorts being said about Russell Martin and the current situation, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all going into the game praying and hoping that we see some kind of improvement. With the way that the situation is on the other side of the city just now, if we could just get a wee bit of hope and then actually potentially go for the title, because it's there for the taking, there's no doubt. But it's in the situation now that Celtic are going to lose the league more than we are going to win it. So,
did you not see signs of improvement in the derby, James? You know, obviously I know it was 0-0 Rangers. We're a bit powder puff up front, but just in general, in terms of the organisational side and the kind of the you know, the commitment side of it, I felt, you know, watching the game, there was a, you know, there was a little bit more. Yeah, Rangers had a little bit more steel about them, and I think, listen, you start with that, and then you try and build at the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree, but that's one game, and we've had many other games that are the complete opposite example. So. We do need to see a vast improvement. The next two games are huge. So,
because that would be, Alex, it's a very different test, that one, isn't it? We always say this stuff about it just kind of taking care of itself, and, you know, that kind of spirit's always really going to be, I mean, if that's missing in that fixture, you're done for. Whereas now, as good as Hearts have been, it's back to that onus of, like, put it this way. To boil it down, a draw, all in all, probably wasn't a bad result for Rangers in that game, but a draw will be a terrible result this weekend. That fair?
Absolutely. And one of the things as well is, and Jim will know this, when you play in the Saturday, it's an opportunity to close a gap, and right away you pile on pressure. So, you know, if they don't get the result that is required, because James is right, I think if they don't get a draw, is no good, Corn. You know, they need to get a win from somewhere. I thought, was it opening four games so far? It's not what it's expected. I think there'll be, Jim mentioned about Celtic improving along the way. I think Rangers will as well. I think when Asgard come in, I don't think, because they come in so late, I don't think they're up to speed. Again, we come on as their sub the other day, is that right?
Yeah, half time, I think, four goals.
Might even have been after that.
Yeah, so I think these guys are still working their way to full fitness. And so by getting these guys up to speed quicker, but you have to win these games, Gordon, because if you go into this at the weekend and you don't get the result, the pile will pressure on Russell Martin.
Does that give you even a slice more optimism, James, when you look at Asgard scoring four for Norway, your new signing, Derek Cornelius, who you've not even seen yet, scores a free kick. I know Raskin had scored, which is a whole other situation. Yeah, think you can bring it back?
I mean, we're in a situation with the international games that we really should kick on. So it's just kind of, we've been disappointed so much this season that, you know, we're a wee bit sceptical, but fingers crossed.
That it can work two ways almost, can't that? Where you sort of hope that naturally they bring that back. Or what it does for a manager like Russell Martin, who's already under maybe a bit of the spotlight, he then gets the accusation that he can't get the, you know, the best out of them. Even John Souter. John Souter brilliant, was brilliant for Scotland, yeah, over the two games. And
I think it's a difficult one, Gordon, because Russell Martin's obviously a new manager at Rangers. He's trying to, you know, can instill his style of football, which we all know is, you know, a very possession based game. Everybody knows that. But I think he's obviously not, even with the, you know, the best research in the world, you don't know how all the teams, the opposition are. And I think he's finding that maybe the opposition is maybe a wee bit better than he anticipated, in terms of the quality in the organisation. And then his own players, he's came in obviously with the idea, something like Max Aarons is going to play ahead of James Tavernier. And then all of a sudden James Tavernier looks, well, wait a minute, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
And then he's got, like, so for instance, maybe wanting to put Raskin out the team and bringing in Rothwell. Yeah. But all of a sudden Raskin looks maybe a better bet than Rothwell. So sometimes you've got to have, as I mentioned before, three or four games, at least maybe more than that, to then think, wait a minute, all right, I did bring these guys in, but the guys at Rangers are actually better than perhaps he anticipated, some of these guys. And I think that he's still trying to find out. Obviously, he's brought new signings up the top end of the pitch. Cyril Dessers has went away, which is 20 goals. You know,
so better got, last year, Jimmy, yeah. Dessers.
Yeah, you know, so he's got to he's got to get that side of it right. And he's obviously brought new wingers in, Gassam, I think he's not Gassam, is it? So he's did really well, but obviously Ant-Man, the other side, still got a bit to find. So there's still a bit of tweaking to get done there.
What about
there.
Gassam? Did you see that?
Gassam, yeah.
Centre of the... Honestly, nothing sums up modern football discourse like this. Did you see this on Twitter today? You know how much a social media man are you? Questions were apparently asked as to why... Why Rangers didn't wish him happy birthday on Twitter.
It, yes.
Because they do that automatically with every player.
Yeah, right.
But then apparently he just requested, for whatever reason, that they didn't. Right. And then people were genuinely inquiring as to why. James, how does... This will be an ongoing one. I'm almost... Well, it's a guarantee that Russell Martin's asked about it on Friday. We'll then have a good debate about the team. How does Nicholas Raskin's return from international football play out, do you think?
Hopefully with him back in the team. You think about what happened with Barry Ferguson and Paul Le Guin. Barry Ferguson was the guy that should have stayed. And just because you're questioning things when they're not working doesn't necessarily mean that you're a problem within the club. I think Raskin just wants to drive standards. And we're a better team with him in the midfield. So it's as simple as that.
Alex, you worked with him.
Yeah.
What was that like? Is he opinionated?
Yeah, much so, Gordon. Like he's vocal in what he sees things going forward, and then obviously you've got the manager situation. I don't think it's as clear cut as people are making out. You know, it's just about him having a different opinion. I think, again, without reading it, if you go back to the Motherwell game, Gordon, after post-match, he basically said that players have to leave their egos at the door.
Self-preservation, all that stuff.
He actually went on after that to say that there'd only been bids in for Cyril, which basically said that no one else. So that kind of intimated to me that other players were maybe going, moving away. So I think there was more of an issue there. Now, whether that was Nico, Dio, Cyril, Egerman, I'd no idea who that is. So... But there seems to be a little bit of discourse between the manager and certain players.
Well, they then left him out the team the next week, which sort of pointed in that.
Possibly.
When you say he was, you know, he was outspoken or had an opinion or whatever, I take it, is there still room for that in the game? Do players have that? Did you and Philippe Clement ever find it too much or too difficult?
No, not at all. No. When I say he's outspoken and he was opinionated, I don't think anybody was going, listen, we need to get rid of this guy because he's got an opinion. Because we could clearly see the ability that he brought to the team, the attributes. So...
The dressing rooms are normally quiet now anyway.
Sometimes
when someone does voice an opinion, it's actually perceived as maybe it's something a bit more Gordon, because... I mean, Alec will tell you, we've been in a lot of dressing obviously over the decades, and it has got quieter and quieter and quieter. And sometimes when a manager says, you know, listen, what do you guys think? You might get just the one or the two guys that are always
going to speak
vocally
up,
and the other ones just don't want to say anything. So sometimes you can be misconstrued as being a bit of a troublemaker.
Has there? Because I'm thinking over the last few years, like, it's different managers, different systems, but I remember when Philippe Clement was appointed, I think there was an assumption there that, well, he's Belgian, he's his countryman, and this relationship will be great and it'll get the best. Am I right in saying that maybe didn't happen straight away? I'm not saying there was an issue,
he wasn't starting.
Yeah.
He wasn't a starter, but I think what happened with Nico, he kind of worked his way in and he showed us the qualities that he is currently showing at the moment. It's interesting because this has to get resolved, Gordon. James is absolutely right, because you have a key player there, and there is a overwhelming swell of support for Nico by the fans. And this could be a tricky situation because if he doesn't play him in the weekend or going forward and get that resolved, because the value that Nico brings to the team, and there was clearly some sort of discourse because of being omitted out of the squad last week, then he's in the Belgian squad. So that didn't quite... Yeah. But that has to get ironed out somewhere along the line, because you can't have a player like Nico Raskin in the building with his strong opinions and what he brings to the team, and not get that ironed out, because otherwise there'll be more issues going forward everyone.
But at the same time, Jim, Russell Martin can't reinstate Nico Raskin because he scored for Belgium or because the fans want it. You know, and something needs to shift, presumably.
No, but I think as a manager, you have to understand the part that fans can play. You know what I mean? If you just ignore...
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. No one's saying that fans can dictate to the manager, but you've got to be... If you've got a really good player there and you're not getting the results... Now, if Rangers are firing on all cylinders just now and they've won their first four games, manager can play who he wants. But if you're not and you're leaving one of the favourites, the fans' favourites out, you're bringing that attention to yourself, because the first thing is... Guys like yourself, who interview them and that after the game, is going to say, well, you know, you left Raskin out. What was it? And then all of a sudden, he's getting more angry and frustrated. So you've got to get that balance right. Yeah. The window has closed now. He's not going to be going anywhere to at least next year at the very earliest. Yeah. So therefore, you've got a really terrific player. You've got to get inside his head, understand what makes him tick, and then get him in the team, because there is no doubt Rangers are a better team in midfield, or midfield's better with Nico Raskin in it. I don't think there'd be too many people would argue that. If you take all their other midfield players, I think Nico Raskin would be one of the most influential midfield players that Rangers have in their current squad.
But that's the reason why it needs ironed out, Gordon. Because he's not a fan's favourite just because he's you've got a good song about him and so forth. But it's what he's bringing to the team on a regular basis. Last season he was a player of the year. Mm-hmm. And you have to get him back to that, driving the team forward, and that's what he does best.
Thank you very much to James on the line. It's a perfect time for you to join in. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and we'll hopefully speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025 is the number. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. And I've always said that the beauty about this show is you just never quite know what to expect next. It's just fluid, it's live, every day is different. Someone's always got something to say. I was just watching the calls coming through, and you know, generally it says their name and the team they support and their town, and very brief description of the point. And then I've got one here for it. Just says midwife phoned to say that listeners Rachel and Kerr have had a baby and they want a shout out from the REH in Paisley. So literally on in the labour ward, brilliant. Or whatever.
In the labour
ward.
Congratulations.
So, or the
boy,
I don't know. Congratulations.
So our waffling has helped that baby be delivered. Well, she's screaming abuse.
I'll be sleeping at
her husband or her partner. Then she's got the soothing voice of Ray and Duffy to calm her down in that vital moment.
Rachel,
honestly,
and Kerr.
It's poetic.
Congratulations. Remember we did actually, I don't know if you remember us, a guy did phone from in the heat of battle one night. His partner was in labour and you could hear the heart rate monitors in the background, genuinely. Yeah. You know that distinctive noise that it makes. Yeah. And they phoned in during it and she's shouting hiya in the background. So there we go.
Taking the gas and the air off.
So just well done, Rachel and Kerr. Congratulations.
Well, congratulations.
Well. And you'll enjoy your next full night's sleep in 10 years' time. Alex is on the line. How are you? Oh, in fact, hold on. Very quickly, let me set up your full time teaser. Archie and Hamilton sent it in. Ooh, this is sneaky. Who are the last 9 non-Scottish Rangers players to score for their national team whilst at Ibrox? So you've got a wee head start, I think, on that
Asgard.
One. Yeah. The last 9 non-Scottish players to score for their national team whilst in the books, Ibrox.
Raskin.
Asgard, yes. Raskin, yes.
Dessers.
Yes.
Cornelius.
And Cornelius. Right, leave it there. That's 4 down.
3 just scored.
4 down and 5 to get. Let's bring in Alex, who is on the line. And Denny, how are you, Alex?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
Good, what, Alex. Pal? All good. Are you a Hearts fan, Alex?
I am, yeah.
Got it right. Good. What are you thinking then? Manager of the month. A sign of good things or a curse for the weekend?
It's a bit of both. We're all in mixed fixtures when we come against Old Firmy. So I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday, but here's hoping we can put that 2014 thing to an end.
It's a long old time, that, isn't
it? It is. I remember it as well.
Yeah, it's a long
championship days.
Yeah. Do you? How do you feel about this one then? Because Hearts are a bit different, right, from the way I get to look at it. You're a, I'll admit, obviously a bit bigger club than Motherwell and a more expectation and more money and all that. I always feel that when you play Celtic and Rangers, though, it's annoying when the expectation rises. They're the ones that end up letting you down. But do you feel there is enough in this one where Hearts have started well? Derek McInnes is there. Jamestown Analytics. Rangers are in perceived crisis. Do you feel like this could be the one?
We haven't got a better chance to beat Rangers, and to be pretty fair, but I'm quite looking forward to it. I think if the squad pull together, we can certainly get a deserved result at Ibrox, I'm hoping, and obviously a challenge for that second spot.
Do you see what I mean, though, Alex? You'll have seen all of these scenarios before. Sometimes you feel like the best chance you've got is when you are the underdog and you're widely acknowledged as the underdog. Sometimes when the expectation goes up, they're the ones that come back to bite you a bit.
Yeah, but as I said, Gordon, I feel as if Hearts will go there thinking we've got a real opportunity. Derek McInnes will want to get back as well. He'll know Rangers inside out from Kamalik last year. So, yeah, he'll be feeling confident as well. But that group of players, Gordon, you know, when you're talking about underdogs and things, I'm not really sure that they'll go there feeling like underdogs, because if they get the first goal, then we know how difficult it can be for the Rangers players to play at Ibrox, under these circumstances of, you know, four games in, is it one of the worst starts?
Yeah, I think it's the worst.
So if I'm a Hearts player going there this weekend, I'm thinking to myself, we're really going to get up. If we get off the blocks, and Derek McInnes is shrewd, he's wise, he knows the landscape, and he'll be saying to himself, we go there, get the goal. It wouldn't be this silence, I feel as if they'll have a go. I think you have nothing to lose either.
Rangers a little bit, because Rangers have struggled, you know, this season.
The block.
You know, I get against teams, particularly Ibrox, you know, who have sat in. Mm-hmm. So I do think it might suit Rangers
That's
a little bit.
That's kind of what I mean. I feel like I've got these visions of a few times over the years where Aberdeen come and people go, oh, by the way, this is the time, and Aberdeen get all up for it, and then all of a sudden there's spaces there and it doesn't.
No, but I think that the one thing about this Hearts team this year is this. Seem to be a real resilience. I mean, there's been a couple of games I've come back from being behind, scored very late goals, as you know, Gordon. So, and there's been a spread of goals as well. Now, I know they're missing a couple of players, a couple of their new signings, but they've really looked at their squad strength, they've looked at the depth, under this partnership with Tony, with Jamestown Analytics. And, you know, they've definitely put down a marker in terms of what their expectations are. And they haven't been afraid of saying it. And I like that. I like the fact is, why shouldn't they? They've invested well. And if they've got the right players, they've got a terrific manager, then why shouldn't they have, you know, huge aspirations this year of maybe at least finishing second. But if Celtic and Rangers don't get their act together after the new year, of course, because we had a similar situation with Aberdeen last year in the first third of the season.
So October, wasn't it?
You know, and that they fell off a cliff. So, you know, listen, you've got to sustain it, but I think Hearts' squad is very strong, and I think they will continue to invest in January as well.
Alex, how big a blow is it to not have your new record signing available? Agu, he has had a hamstring injury. He won't be ready for the game. You saw glimpses of, you know, what he was capable of when he came on against Livingston, and by all accounts the reports are very positive. I think there's a real high hopes for him, but won't make this game.
Obviously it's very disappointing, but we're just hopefully, obviously we've got Braga and Shankland, even Kabangu, so hopefully we can just get the squad together. Hopefully he gets fit. More concerning for me is obviously missing Frankie Kent as well. Looks like he's going to miss the game on Saturday as well, so he concerns the back purpose maybe, but I'm just, fingers crossed, we can go out and get the 3 points challenge for second anyway, because obviously it's pretty funny from an outsider watching these Celtic fans phone in. Like, obviously they've won 13 league titles in the last 14. They've obviously been very unlucky in the Champions League last season, but I think obviously as an outsider, I think Celtic will compete in that Europa League this season. But just looking forward for Hearts, hopefully a challenge for that second spot, and hopefully we're playing Champions League football next season.
I was just, from a sort of neutral point of view, I was looking forward to seeing him. So Marvin was obviously in the receiving end with Livy, and said that he looked the real deal, this guy. I spoke to some people inside Hearts, so remain nameless, and again, really, really quite excited about what this guy was going to offer, and sort of shown already why the fee was so what high, it was. Man. You know, I think this is the record. It's the biggest fee paid for a Arnold Firm team, I think, or certainly close to that. So shame for him to miss out, but the Hearts have other players there.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I say, you know, they've been very consistent this year in the results, and I think that's important. It just builds confidence again. Yeah. Like Edna, there's parts of the you know that I'm sure Derek is wanting to improve upon. But it's Alex was saying there that you know they've got a real belief about them, and I don't think they'll go to Ibrox. You know, fearful. I think they'll go there. I mean, obviously, again, they're strong squad. Stuart Finlay, come in at the back and did really well. So they've got plenty of options. They've got goals in their team. Braga's been terrific, absolutely terrific.
Great song about him.
Yeah,
as well.
It's a good song as well. Yeah, which always helps. But yeah, I just think there's a lot of positivity about Hearts. I do see them. You know, having a really consistent season, but I also see their great rivals doing the same.
Yeah,
I think Hibs have got a good squad, and I think that'll be a real competition between those two. I think that'll go right to the wire, and it wouldn't surprise me this year because of everything that's surrounding the Glasgow clubs that one of them could be in the mix. I'm not saying that they will definitely do it, but I do think that they will sustain a longer challenge than Aberdeen did last year.
How do you view your goalkeeping situation, Alex, because you've obviously got Craig Gordon, but he's been injured and he hasn't played. He's back training now. Xander Clark then clearly became number one, has received, from what I can gather, a bit of criticism, went away with Scotland as the only goalie out of the three who was actually playing regular club football but didn't get the game time, and it went to Angus Gunn. Yeah. And in the meantime, you've signed Alexander Shvolov on a 2-year deal. Who's number one?
Before the season, even before Craig Gordon got injured, I was thinking Xander Clark, let Craig Gordon give him experience and things like that. But Xander Clark's forming new, hopefully gets better. But I would maybe give Craig Gordon on Saturday. I can't really played in that fixture against him, Fremantle behind closed doors, and I heard he played really well in it. So the new goalkeeper, I've no read or seen how he plays, but. Right now, I think you've just got to go with your best goalkeeper. I think that's Craig Gordon.
Interesting to see, because I don't imagine the politicians' answer, I'm sure, was they're all there and they're all ready to compete, which I'm sure they are, but really fascinating. So Xander Clark might go from number one to number three in the space of the international break. Or he stays in.
But listen, the bottom line is he had the jersey and he made a couple of errors, and sometimes, like any player, you've got the opportunity to cement that number one position, and you know he's maybe not get grasp that. So there's an opportunity now for someone else to come in. But if he does get the nod at the weekend, then he's got to perform. At the level he's done in the past.
And again, Alexander Shvolov, he's 33, he's joined in a 2-year deal. He comes with a good pedigree. So again, is it hard to imagine? I feel like that on pit, he's got 200 Bundesliga appearances. So you find it hard to imagine him as number three. But then it's hard to imagine Craig Gordon or Xander Clark as number three. By the way, they've got Ryan Fulton, who I think is injured. Mm-hmm. Is it Liam McFarlane, isn't it? But he got injured on...
I think they've got six. I think six goalkeepers, I think. Hearts have got...
Liam McFarlane, I think, got injured on youth team duty for Scotland. So, quite a fight.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. It'll be interesting to see if he keeps his place. But you've obviously got Craig Gordon's vast experience. So, if he was fit, you know, he's a confident boy. Yeah, I would expect him to come back into the fold.
Pitch straight in after
the injury. Listen, he's done it all before. You know what I mean? He's experienced. And we mentioned Finlay and that there, you know, that kind of calming influence at the back, it possibly put him back in again to throw that lad in, you're saying, for the Bundesliga in the first the kind of early stages. I think that'd be a big ask, especially if you've got a guy like him.
I think if you're an experienced goalkeeper, he is in his 30s, you know, he's obviously playing a lot of big Bundesliga games, it shouldn't phase him. I mean, that's the games you kind of bring him for, really, isn't it? I mean, Rangers, Ibrox or whatever.
If Craig Gordon's what you do?
Yeah, well, again, if Craig's shown, if he's played in a couple of bounce games, I'm not sure what he's done, but if he's had a couple of games under his belt, I think you would always have Craig Gordon in, even though we know he's not absolutely the same level he was at, but he was still very good last year.
Okay, thank you very much to Alex and Denny. We're asking you two to name the last nine non-Scottish Rangers players to score for their national team whilst a Rangers player. So really easy over the last 3 days to have Asgard, Cornelius and Raskin. You've also given me Dessers.
Egerman's not one of them, is he?
No, but he did
score,
didn't he?
The other day,
did
I know.
You see him from Morocco? He was a cracker.
With a tremendous strike. The other
one came up last week in the quiz with a different question, but it was Cholak.
Nope.
With Dado Puzzle.
Nope. So Purcell's too far back.
Right.
Cholak's the kind of right time frame. He just happens to knock me on it. What was Egerman like, Alex, to work with?
Oh, tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
And what have you kind of made of that situation?
Well, being in the coaching side of things, I think the injury is it didn't quite sit right with me. If you're a player and you're contracted, again, we don't know whether he was one of the guys that was kind of trying to get out the door, but
no, he was trying to get
out the
door.
Obviously there was in the pipeline, but even if you go back to last January, there was a lot of interest. I think there were some bids from other French teams, Jim. So, but anyway, to answer your question, the boy used to do things in training on a daily basis. And you know when you're standing there and you look and you go, oof, wow. And you think to yourself, initially I used to think, he's been quite fortunate. He used to love nutmegging people and then rifling one. And you used to think to yourself, he's got lucky there. But then it became over a period of time. And I know he's just a young boy. I think when he settles down with the power and the prowess in front of goal, because he's quite good, he's decent finisher, Jim. And so I think he will most certainly kick on once he settles down.
I think that goes down as a... Is that a frustration then that the 10 million was reported to be the release clause and he goes for that? Do you feel like Rangers could have got way more in the end up, or ultimately, if he clearly doesn't want to be there because he didn't want to come on against St Mirren, you bite the bullet? Is it?
Wait, listen, if they've almost triggered the fee that they've actually put in the release clause, you have no choice. But it's a shame, because I think if he had another year or two where he was settled in, because as much as I'm saying he was a real talent and a real bit of quality, there was times I used to see him and I was thinking to myself, he still has a lot to learn, Jimmy, about the general workings of the team, you know, like bringing people with you look at Shankland.
He's a kind of maverick player, though, you know, he kind of played off the cuff at times and he was a joy to watch at times. He was an entertainer and these details, you've got to try and fit them into a system, which isn't always easy, because they do things, as you say, that other players can't even dream of. And sometimes, you just don't know how they can do it. The other thing is, I'm smiling now because Gordon's saying about the trigger or the finance, but you know, Celtic's we've heard so much tonight about getting absolutely battered for, you know, having that policy where they bring players in, sell them on, and Rangers, you know, stated a couple of seasons ago that they had to look at Celtic's model and try and follow, and then when they do that, you still get criticism.
Yeah, well, that was obviously Jeff Day as well left.
Sure.
Come in one year to make good uplifts, so that was obviously the way they were looking to go.
Finally moving in that direction. Okay, keep the calls coming. Perfect time to get in touch. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are already into the final part of tonight's show. Sometimes you think, oh, it's the midweek point after international break. Is it going to be quiet? Never, never on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So keep the calls coming, we've still got time. And on the teaser tonight, it's a big thank you once again to Archie and Hamilton. And a reminder that the email address, should you want to send your question in and have it used in the show, is fulltime@clyde1.com. So Archie's question very quickly tonight is, the last 9 non-Scottish players to score for their country whilst a Rangers player: Asgard, Cornelius, Raskin, Dessers,
Cherney.
Yep, last season against Gibraltar.
Miowski?
He has not scored because he's only been at Rangers recently, so he didn't score over the weekend, no.
The other ones I've got, I don't know, for a bit. Seema?
Oh, no. It's not
what's a great show?
Not, well, it's as good as a wrong answer can be.
Tillman?
No.
Edu? I'm going for the Americans.
Right, so don't go as far back as Edu. They're all more recently than that.
Tom Lawrence?
He's not scored for Wales since 2018. He's actually been out the Wales squad for quite a bit.
Okay. Oh, try to think who else used to go away, man.
Ant-Man?
Again, not. He scored before signing. He's only just in. There's one in particular who actually was always, I think he's more prominent as a national team player than he was as a Rangers player. He's quite a big deal in his home country, I think. Kind of poster boy. You would have worked with him, Alex.
Danilo?
No. Is he no Brazilian? Come on. So he's quite, like I say, he's from famous footballing stock as well, if that helps you.
Claudio Reyna?
No, but his old man was a player. A serious player.
Hadji.
There we go.
Oh, just Hadji, aye. Good show.
You see where I'm going? Is that accurate? You know,
oh, no,
like
it's fabulous.
He's on.
He's Reyna had a boy as well. That was a meeting to play for Rangers.
Yeah. I feel like Hadji's a massive deal in Romania, and then yeah, maybe couldn't quite make it
he's
work.
He's in Turkey now, isn't he?
Anyway, Robert is on the line. How are you, Robert?
Not bad, thanks, myself.
Yeah, good. What have you got for us tonight?
It's just a wee question for Alec Gray, because I'm a Partick Thistle fan.
Oh, good. I've been hoping for one of these.
I know, obviously, the game against St Johnstone at the start of the season, we never played well, getting beat 5-1. But I've noticed now the performances are getting better than that. And what do you think we'll probably end up this season?
Oh, this will be good. Go on.
Listen, mate, Robert, I've actually no idea. Do you know the St Johnstone game still wrangles with me because it was a heavy defeat so soon. It was the opening game of the season and it popped us to death. And you're right about the performances. I think if we can keep everyone fit and, you know, I think we can really kind of continue to do what we're doing and try and get as far up the table as we possibly can. I'm not naive enough to come on here and say we're going to win the league. But obviously I'm thoroughly enjoying it and I'm really hopeful that we can have a really fruitful season. We've obviously got Celtic in a couple of weeks as well in the Cup, which will help us financially. And then obviously, you know, we've got Airdrie Friday night. So you've just got to take care of these games and then just take it a game at a time. So I haven't really focused too much on where we're going to finish up, Robert, to be honest with you. I think the fact that we took a sore one in the opening game of the season, and the boys have responded brilliantly. And as I said, I think if we can continue to do that, I think with squads like the size of ours, and I don't know where you're at with this as well, Jim, I think it's so important to keep key players. And then you've obviously got January around the corner as well. So what you can attract in that window in relation to what you can throw at it, depending where you are in the league. So factors.
Budgets in the Championship and squad strength can be, you know, very important. I mean, like we've seen Falkirk last year, they had a strong squad, and then they bring the likes of Scott Arfield in at a key time in January, and then he adds that little bit of extra quality to help you maybe get over the line. But it's, the Championship's notoriously difficult. I mean, you look at the weekend results there, last weekend before the international break, and it was like, I think, three draws and the other two teams won by a goal.
Yeah,
you know, so
very tight, competitive.
It's every game, you know, you have to be at it. If you're off at a fraction, you know, you can lose no matter which team you are. I mean, even St Johnstone, you know, as you said, I thought at the start of the season they'd be, because of the squad they had and the, you know, the wee bit of kind of parachute payment and all these type of things, I thought, yeah, they'll be there. And Ross County will be there. Ross County have struggled a little bit to start, but they've got a new manager in, and obviously see Callum Davison's went there now as assistant today.
Some managerial team that all of a sudden, isn't
it? Yeah, with Tony Dog,
Callum Davison, and is John
Robinson
still there.
It's
a lot of experience in the Championship, that.
Yeah, and again, but you know, the players, I'm sure, will benefit once they settle down again. But I you know, Robert's a Thistle fan. I've seen Thistle a couple of times this year. I've been very impressed by him. But you know, as I said, you know, there's a lot of tough teams in the Championship. A lot of tough games.
What's been the key to it, Alex? Because I, you know, looking at the outside, I love a wee fraction of, but I always like to see all the guys who work in the show do well, and obviously you and Mark.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well,
because I think the opening game of the season, he's had a real.
I think that was more Gordon DL. He revels in other people's
misses.
Not me. I'm different, right? But you know, I think from the outside, there is an expectation. Look, Partick, that they're always the big club and big expectation, top four. But then, I know speaking to you and Mark, kind of understanding what you're working with, and as Jim says, when you look at that division, I think St Johnstone and Ross County speak for themselves. They should definitely be nailed on favourites, but there's a lot in there. I mean, Wraith have got quite a good thing going. Air United have not got the points yet, but you know, the budget looks good from the outside. But a lot of big players in Dunfermline, Neil Lennon, the manager. So that's before we get to other teams like Morton and Queen's Park, where Jim is at the moment. So it must be quite a tough assignment, knowing that those expectations are there.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think you drive that yourself, Gordon. When you go in there, you're trying to implement a style of play, then you have to get the players to complement that. And Jim will tell you, see over the course of, I don't know, it's 5-6 weeks leading up to the window closing, you're constantly trying to just nick one or two players that's going to make that bit of difference. But the one thing I can say is, having played there under Jim, about 300 years ago. Came back there my final playing days. It is so competitive. It's a brilliant league.
Right, we're nearly out of time, so we need three more Rangers players who scored for their country whilst at Rangers, non-Scottish.
What, the last ones?
Alish, you'd have worked with two of them.
Right, come on, you were only there a fortnight ago and you still can't remember the players.
Trying to forget them.
Albania.
Oh aye, Bezrami.
Bezrami. Wales.
Rabi.
Rabi Matondo.
And probably just before you went in, Finland.
Oh,
the only Finnish one I know is Jonan Johansson.
Glenn Kamara.
Oh,
there we go. All right, thank you very much to Jim Duffy and Alex Ray. Enjoyed that thoroughly. Thank you for listening and calling. Make sure you continue to subscribe to that YouTube channel. If you've not done it, do it for us. You can watch us in all our technicolor glory if you're that way inclined. If you'd rather just listen, you can catch up wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, we're back very soon because Scottish football doesn't stand still, so neither do we. 6 o'clock tomorrow, we will see you again. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.